Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pixel Chicken Team Up. I'm your host, Stryker, and with me I have Jack.
Howdy.
Jack is back.
I am.
Are you Jack 2, or are you Prototype Jack?
I like the reference. That's a Tekken reference for those of you.
He just kind of sighs. He's just like.
I'm going to call you Prototype Jack.
Okay.
I was always a pretty good fan.
What happened to Jack 1?
He's more robotic. I don't know. They just had Ari.
It's like Terminator.
What's special about
Prototype Jack? He's more robotic.
He's like a purely robot. He's purely a robot, and the other Jacks at least have like human features, like skin and stuff.
Okay, so, badass.
Yeah, I'll yeah. Prototype it. Jack.
Yeah.
So Prototype Jack is back with us after Jack 1 was here for our E3 special. And then I have, you probably heard him over there, Mr. Phil.
How you guys doing?
Wearing his Ghostbuster shirt, which I really like.
Thank you.
Probably going to have that. Yeah. I think I'm going to have that later.
Just going to take it.
Yeah, I think I'll have that. And then I have Johnny.
Good evening.
Johnny, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's fucking hot.
It's pretty hot. It's hotter than our heat wave episode.
Yeah, well, is it?
I think.
Well, it might be. But we don't have the windows open with ambulances and everything driving by.
Unfortunately.
And hopefully there won't be any rage today. There won't be bloodshed like that fateful day when we lost so many listeners.
Phil, how you doing?
When did we lose listeners, dude?
I don't know.
Oh.
We didn't, dude.
Okay. Doing good. I am looking for work. I'm enjoying Batman Arkham Knights and nearing the end of The Witcher 3, which I actually don't want to beat because I know it's going to include making a difficult decision that will wind up killing some character or another, and I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm going to see it through, and I'm getting near the end.
Wait, how
just
far
see it through, all right?
Without spoiling or saying anything about where you
I'm
are.
I'm back to Skellige. Or Skellige.
Skellige?
Skellige. Fuck!
Skellige?
Just shut the fuck up. Skellige.
Phil, the funny thing about you saying things like incorrectly is you know what they are supposed to be. But
you like, Skellige, fuck!
No, well, yeah. First I ever wrote it as Skellige. At the corner of my eye, I glanced at it and be like, oh, that's Skellige. And then I learned later on what it's called, Skellige. But I already registered it in my head.
I gotcha. Just,
but yeah, Skellige. I'm back at Skellige because we gotta get that thing.
So you did the crazy sweet part then, where it locks in and it's crazy sweet for a long time.
I'm just now starting.
They're going to give away a spoiler.
Big cast.
I know. I killed the big.
Okay, Phil, you stop. Just stop right now.
No, I did that.
Just stop.
I've been having issues on the Final Fantasy 14 subreddit. They're putting boss names on things, and it's spoilers.
Yeah, you guys got have Final Fantasy. You can finally talk about the expansion.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we can.
Well,
neither of us.
You don't have to.
I'm playing.
We're both playing.
Jack, how you doing? I guess I should just move to you.
I'm peeved today.
Peeved.
I'm peeved.
Oh wow, what's the reason?
So the university uses a system called Blackboard for their assignments.
I'm familiar.
And
Blackboard.
So they decided. Actually, let me just say that this morning I woke up early to do an assignment, and it was down, and
waited till the last minute.
The only way to do college is wait till the last minute. Got up at about 5 a.m. and I was like, oh, it's under fucking maintenance. So I just like sat there on my hands waiting, trying to get Blackboard to go. It just doesn't go, and about 10 a.m. I'm like, well, okay, something weird is happening. So I basically go to the IT's webpage and go through and find the thing about Blackboard. And it now says, you can only access Blackboard on campus.
Why?
Or you can use the university's VPN. They didn't send an email about this. So I get into the VPN and I look at Blackboard and they put out an alert on Blackboard at 1 p.m. the previous day saying, starting tonight, you can't access Blackboard off campus. So they use the service that people can't use to send out the message. They didn't send a freaking email.
Ingenious. Oh, yeah. So what's the story? What happened with this assignment?
It didn't happen.
Oh,
fuck. I mean, I got
the term Blackboard. It just sounds like death.
We used Blackboard actually for something in high school, or maybe I don't remember what it was, but I'm familiar with Blackboard.
So that's it then. Jack's fucked.
Jack's fucked.
Have to go.
I didn't make the dice rolling game.
See, this is my problem. I don't wait to do my homework till last minute.
Then you're doing it wrong.
But then, here's the thing. I start out doing it, and then I just basically zone out for 2 hours along the way. That's my problem.
I do a little of both. Well,
yeah,
I did.
Yes.
I'm just saying, I'm going to have a chat with the instructor and say, I didn't procrastinate. I scheduled my time in a certain way that I should have been able to use it.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not fair.
I mean...
He owes you money.
Yeah.
It's fair. It's a fair argument. I'm with you. One thing I wanted to mention is... rather than doing it at the end of the podcast, but for you folks out there that are listening, if you have a Facebook account and would like to like our page to keep up to date with what's going on, when our episodes come out, anything else, hopefully in the future if we get enough people on our page, we could do, you know, giveaways, things like that. Like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/pixelchickenpodcast. Our Twitter account, which is also a good way to keep up with us, is at @pixel_chicken. So that's the best. Oh, and email us if you want, pixelchickenpodcast@gmail.com. That's the best place to send Phil. Johnny?
Wiener photographs.
Wiener photographs, yep.
We have 38 likes right now. And every time...
39.
39, oh shit.
Wow.
Every time we go up a like, we all get blackout drunk. Especially Phil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we reach 50, we'll just do a podcast where we just spend an hour getting blackout drunk.
Sounds fantastic.
And then the second hour,
slurring. I would listen to that. I would totally listen to a podcast.
Yeah. So for all you listening out there, 50 likes and the blackout drunk cast will be coming your way. So with that said, we have some news to get into. I'll just kind of go through this in order of the way I have it written out here. The first thing I just wanted to touch on, because we've all had a little bit more time to play it, for those of us that are playing it, Batman Arkham Knight.
Yep.
I got it on PS4 because the PC version is well known by now to be a bit of a fart. In fact, after we got off the air last week, they announced that they're pulling it from sale on PC, which is pretty crazy. I can't think of that ever happening before, especially with like a AAA game.
It was literally the minute like we stopped recording.
Yeah. So that was a ballsy move. But the game itself, I got it on PS4, I started over, and I'm pretty much a little bit past the point where I was on PC.
Where are you now?
None of your business.
Like how many hours?
Oh. Like 3-4 maybe.
Okay.
So not much at all. So I love it. It's amazing. It runs like perfectly on PS4. Mm. I have no problems whatsoever. I'm glad that I made that decision. And the game itself is just so... I have a ton of respect for Rocksteady as a developer, and I had kind of forgotten how great they are at doing like fan service stuff, just because it's been a while since I played Arkham City. The amount of stuff they do in this game, just like for they're like rewarding you for being a fan of Batman, constantly.
And the things that they jam pack, I mean, all the creative things they've discovered you can do with the Batmobile. I mean, it's so great.
I love the Batmobile. Mm-hmm. I think that his suit in the game, the one that you get, the updated suit, is I think one of the coolest designs for the Batman suit.
Love
in
it.
Any media.
It is so cool. And I've said last week, it does make me think of the Chris Nolan costume, but I'm a fan of the Chris Nolan costume, so I don't have a problem with it at all. But the other skins are really fun, too. The Batman 3000 skin is really badass. I like the red cape, and I like the basically the red color scheme. It's really cool, and the way his neck brace is, it's so shiny. Like you can, like when he gets rained on, the shininess is so detailed. Like that's just a testament to how nice the graphics are in the game.
The game, that's a good point actually. The game, more than I can't think of another game I've played recently that does a better job of differentiating materials, which is kind of a weird thing, like graphically that doesn't seem like it would be like something I wouldn't really notice. But yeah, when I'm playing this game, like there's a lot of different materials going, like even with his suit, yeah, he has like kind of like those carbon fiber like shoulder pad things.
It's the little details that make the look of the game what it is.
It's very impressive on a technical level.
Yeah, so I started playing it. I've only gotten about an hour and a half in or so, maybe a little bit further. It's pretty sweet. Visually, it's absolutely probably the best looking game I have on the PS4. In terms of like engine power, it's probably one of the most the best looking games this year. Like when you throw the Batarang and it goes through the city, and it's just flying through the city, and it's got all that. It's everything's rendered perfectly, and this is on the PS4, and it just smoothly flies. The camera just flies through the city, zooms way the fuck out, zooms back in, loops around, goes through the city again. It's just like holy crap! And there's all this stuff that's going on, and it's just an impressive game on a technical level.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad that the release is getting overshadowed by the whiners. But that's just...
Well,
I mean, not that they don't have the right to, because the PC version fucking sucks, yeah. But the game... When I bought the game, I opened it up, and there was 800 pieces of paper flew out. Each one was a DLC code. One was for Batman's knee sock, the left one. Mm. Can't forget that classic. I had to try to think to find the right knee sock, though. But I don't know when you'll need knee socks.
Does anyone know when you get to play a Scarecrow? Because I put that DLC in, and I haven't... It's not in the Arkham
Tales. You don't play as Scarecrow. You play Scarecrow missions. Like, from Arkham Asylum.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know when those show up.
Okay.
I'm not sure either.
Okay, I see. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, people were complaining, like, there's no Scarecrow missions, and he's the main bad guy. It's like, yeah, well, you gotta get DLC, sorry.
That's probably one of the things that people were probably gonna be complaining about, because it was such a memorable moment in Arkham Asylum, and now you have to buy a DLC moment.
You don't even get to buy it. It's a pre-order thing.
It is a pre-order.
For PS4 exclusives.
For PS4 exclusives, yes. But,
I just don't get why you have to pre-order... For pre-order bonuses, you open up the case and you have three different slips of paper fall out.
Would you be happier if it was consolidated to one piece of paper?
Yes.
I'm just trying to figure out what you're
asking.
That'd bothers me so much, but the fact that they have three fucking codes for tiny things, mm-hmm. It's just a huge pet peeve. Mm-hmm. Skins is a code. 30-minute mission, that's a code.
And
I didn't do anything for this.
So wait, the number of codes is the issue, or the number of papers?
That's the good question.
If you had three codes
on
one
piece
of paper, is this an environment thing?
I've got, when I opened it up and all that crap fell out, I felt like they were overcompensating me, like, thank you for, like, you earned this and this and this. I'm like, fuck you, I didn't even know this was in here.
And
I just wanted to be a part of the game, or...
If I'm correct, I've heard that these things are actually already on the disc.
I don't know why
Fantastic.
You need two different codes to unlock PS4 exclusive content. If it was PS4 exclusive, just put it on the PS4 disc or download and have it just be a part of the game. I mean, again, this is tiny. This isn't a real complaint, but like, I just don't get the DLC model for pre-order bonuses.
Maybe it's a false value thing. Like, I think it's probably like... There are probably a lot of people who see a code that they get to put in, and they're sweet thing.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's like, because I thought that like I was supposed to think that way, I just didn't.
Are you giving me your codes?
Yeah, basically, I'm giving Strike my codes because I don't care, because they don't do anything.
I offered him a sweet deal, actually. I mean,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Three Otter Pops.
Mm-hmm.
And $4, I think it was.
Well, I said you could have free, but...
Oh.
And
the deal stands.
On another note, me and Stryker are kind of... Stryker and I. Thanks,
just
Grandma.
Kidding.
Thanks, Grandma. Stryker and I have been playing the game rather differently. I find myself kind of hooked to the main story arc because I love the whole mind game Joker thing in Batman's head. I love how he just randomly appears and says all these, you know, terrible things as we were talking about before we recorded Stryker. And
spoiler alert.
I just got...
I didn't know that. Come on.
Sorry, man.
Sorry, Phil. Guys.
Joker's in a Batman game.
Phil's drunk. Forgive him.
Anyway, I've been hooked on that. And then you're going off and discovering all these other cool things that are in the side missions.
Yeah, I kind of try to do... With any game like this, same with, like, The Witcher and stuff, I try to do... You know, a good balance of I'll do like a main mission and then a few story missions or side missions rather. And sometimes I'll get like really engaged in the story and I'll do like, you know, three or four in a row and then I'll have to go do a bunch of side missions. But yeah, I the side missions are sweet. The characters they introduce are really well done. And I feel like it's a little bit better the way that they're introducing characters than it was in the previous games. I feel like they're it's kind of almost the moments feel a little bit more special because in the last games I almost felt like it was like, okay, you know, like which character am I going to see on this mission? You know, who's going to be the new character that, because you were kind of expecting it. In this one, it's a bit more of like a surprise and they're a bit more unique and creative the way that they're doing it. I won't give away some spoilers, but, when you made a certain character, a certain ally, it's really well done and really cool. I like it a lot.
May I let you know that if I tell you about a certain gadget you get, would you consider that a spoiler in the story? Because it's one of the things you really have to look forward to.
If it's something I really have to look forward to.
Okay. It's something that I was really excited about because I still like Dark Knight Rises. Stryker, you liked Dark Knight Rises. Do you still like it?
Yeah.
And it's really neat. It's just a neat little thing. Not a big earth shatterer, but it's really neat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
You get the Disruptor that he uses to shut down the lights in the hallway. You get to use that to shut down their guns and their weapons caches.
Okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Like the electronical...
Yeah.
The electronic EMP. I
got
the EMP gun.
So that's kind of... Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's really sweet. I really liked it. I think it's cool. I love using it.
I think I actually might have seen that in like a trailer or something before. So
cool.
Maybe I didn't. But I feel like I knew that somewhere.
I think I saw it too.
Yeah. So it might... So you're spoiler free, I think.
Yeah. I suck at Arkham games. I forgot about that. I've always been like really, really like... clumsy with
you mean
them.
Like specifically the combat
sometimes
system.
No the combat's I mean it's kind of hard to suck at that. That's just comboing and rhythm and I'm good at that kind of thing, but like all the gadgets and just wrapping my head around the mechanics are, it's like a real simple game and really smoothly designed, but for whatever reason I'm just a clumsy, especially mostly the stealth segments.
Well, you kind of live your life that way.
Yeah, it's like how I eat.
Yeah. Oh, man. I wish that sometimes that we could live stream you eating so the listeners could see what
maybe experience one day we'll get like a pizza as long as you buy.
Yeah. It's got to be something. Yeah, pizza would be good, actually.
Yeah.
Because you would end up with that all over your shirt somehow. And
it would be a disaster.
Yeah. Do you know this, what I'm talking about with Johnny when he eats?
I mean, I'm pretty bad, too. So go to a restaurant and we kind of ruin the table.
We get
Johnny is like... he's in a constant state of spilling something.
Yeah.
Like, even if he's slightly not spilling, he's still, like, almost spilling.
I get to the end of the meal at a restaurant, and I just see, like, little, like, crumbs and bits of food around my plate, and I'm like, how did it get there? I just took the fork from the plate to my mouth, and somehow there's, like, a piece of chicken across the table.
Well, if we ever end up all going to dinner, Phil and I will sit at our own table. We'll sit across from you so we can watch.
Judge.
You'll still have shit hitting you, I guarantee.
Probably.
Oh, my lemonade! Anyways, yeah, so I don't know why. The Arkham games I also noticed, well, I noticed this with Arkham City, although it's kind of always been this way. But they have a lot of side crap that I don't, that you don't need to do, but that I never ever would want to do. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like the VR constant, like,
oh, like the challenge type thing?
Yeah, tons of challenge crap everywhere.
They do have leaderboards, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a neat system for those that are into it, but like,
I never was really into it in the last games either. The challenge,
more interested or less interested, but it's like they are constantly like thrown everywhere around. Like they're like cluttering the world with like challengey score attack kind of things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool for the people who really want to, like, those people that are super conscientious of their $60 being put to use in a game. But they always, it seems like they always throw in a little too much to 100% an Arkham game. With like the 999 Riddler trophies and everything.
This one has a significantly less.
How many? Or
I don't know. I don't know roughly, but it's way less than Arkham City, and they're much more, they're not just like,
are they fun?
Yeah, they're more fun and creative. They're not just like dumping a million of them. It's more like quality over quantity. So I will say that.
Yeah.
In fact, when you go to like the Riddler trophy like interface to look at how many there are, I think there's basically like there's ones on each island, and I'm trying to like think of it in my head. I can't figure out how much exactly, but it's a lot less than Arkham City, which in my opinion is a good thing. I agree.
And this is far from a complaint, but I've always felt with more as they come out, because they get like more and more RPG-ish to the point where now, I don't remember if City had this, but there's like an experience bar with actual experience points, and it feels satisfying to complete stuff and seeing all that fill up. But just like opening up a skill tree with unlocks and all this side shit and 20% defense against, you know, mm-hmm. guns and that kind of thing, it's just like, it's not the kind of game where I really want that as, because I love RPGs, but when I play Batman, I just kind of want to have like,
you don't really pay attention to it.
I just want
to
beat them up and then go through the story. I mean, I don't mind it. I don't really mind it. It's just, I feel sometimes overwhelmed when I open up and I see all this fucking everything. Mm-hmm. It's a very complex game.
It's still easy for me. Need to be. It's still, I don't mind it, but I don't really notice it. If there's like a what's the color that it's supposed to be when you can level it up?
It's like green if you can level it up or something like that.
And if I see it, I just hit the button and I just go back to playing. But essentially, I mean, I can still play Batman and feel like a badass. So.
I didn't even know
that you got experience points for. I just.
Yeah, I mean, the Arkham City did have a similar thing. You could upgrade and get different, like combat things and different gadget upgrades.
Wasn't Arkham Asylum the same way though?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah,
it's been so
long.
You
upgraded stuff in Arkham Asylum, but I feel like it was really linear. You just got things, Actually, no, there was, you could upgrade, you could like level up to rank 3 of all your pieces or whatever, I can't remember it very well, but yeah, it's just weird, like opening up a skill tree and seeing like 9 branching utilities for skill trees, and then like going into like, oh, Batmobile or combat or, you know, the fucking Batarang or whatever. And you open up one of those, and there's 9 skills within there, and you got to read what they all do, so you don't pick the wrong one. It's just like opening that up for the first time. I was just like, got to read. This little punch thing. I want to punch the penguin. It's got a fucking stupid bottle thing in his eye. I want to punch that.
I think you're wrong. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I understand that. I would agree that. Oh, here he goes. A live play-by-play. Johnny, it just spilled beer. It's on his hands and his face.
Did he get on the laptop?
No.
Did he get on the laptop? No, on the laptop.
No, we're good.
What about your lap?
Maybe a little.
Okay. Yeah, so I can understand that. I don't necessarily see an issue with it. Or,
and I don't really think it's a bad thing either.
So, Batman, awesome. Another thing that... it was a statement was released earlier this week from Miyamoto, right?
Miyamoto.
Specifically, he talked. I don't know what it, if it was like at a, some sort of conference or something, but they were talking about the financial situation and the sales of the Wii U, and he released a statement about his opinion on why the Wii U is not doing well or didn't sell well. And I can't, Johnny, if you want to summarize it, kind of.
Basically, Miyamoto said in an interview with Forbes, I believe, to investors, that the reason why the Wii U wasn't really a financial success is because that it was released at the wrong time, and it was all because people weren't ready for the tablet. They weren't ready for that level of it didn't make sense. But he was partially shifting the blame on the consumer, but then also taking blame for them not waiting till the consumer was ready.
I'll just read it. It's short enough that I can just.
Oh,
read
yeah,
it.
Good. Yeah.
So he said. He said that with our latest system, the Wii U, the price point was one that ended up getting a little higher than we wanted. We thought, and then he says, "This is I'm not sure if this is switching topics or not." We thought that you could have the rapid boot up tablet type functionality, and it would be a very unique system that could introduce some unique styles of play. I think, unfortunately, what ended up happening was that tablets themselves appeared in the marketplace and evolved very, very rapidly. And unfortunately, the Wii system launched at a time where the uniqueness of those features were perhaps not as strong as they were when we had first begun developing them. So that's what he said.
So he's saying rather than being ahead of its time, he's saying it was behind its time. Like, right. They didn't get it out quick enough. So people were ready, and other people in the...
I must have read some paraphrasing.
Which I don't necessarily think that that's the problem. I mean, I don't think people were really comparing a tablet... to a Wii U,
I think there's a lot of people who use tablets for kids and gaming, yeah. And that's like a large part of Nintendo's target audience. So I think that really might have eaten.
That's
into
true.
Their,
that's a really good point.
To like what their share was.
Yeah,
it could have. But yeah, and you know, with financial issues, it is will become harder to save yourself if you're losing more and more money. And releasing a large catalog of games isn't always...
Earlier on, before we recorded, Stryker made the point that they're slowly becoming more and more like Sega, but you were both saying, well, they still do pretty well with portable, right?
Phil, that was not on the record.
When I said yeah. That. We didn't want the people to know.
Goodness.
No, but I was more generalizing. I wasn't... I don't think that they're going to end up like Sega, but I do think that they kind of are... not making as smart of decisions, and they're just kind of their view of the gaming industry and what their consumers want seems to be a little, I don't know, a little at odds with how they used to be. So I don't know.
An issue from my perspective with Nintendo is that there's this disconnect where there's a lot of people who. Are older but still play on Nintendo system because mm-hmm. nostalgia.
Yeah.
And then they're still trying to shoot for a really young audience at the same time.
Which didn't quite catch on with the Wii U, as especially like the Wii did.
With kids, you mean? Or?
Yeah, in terms of their sales.
Well, they just don't have... It's kind of in a weird place because they don't have those, like, millions of those real casual pick-up-and-play easy... games for the Wii U.
They put out some of those games. They just weren't as good as they were on the Wii. Like, right. I recently just got the new WarioWare game, or not new, but new to me, the one on the Wii U. I got it because of the last couple days of... A couple days ago was the last day of Nintendo Power, or no, it's the GameStop. The reward thing.
Yeah.
What was it called? Club Nintendo.
Yeah. Club Nintendo.
Club Nintendo closed down. I got the WarioWare game. And it just wasn't as good as the one on the Wii was, and I think that's probably an issue with a lot of those.
Yeah.
Well, those I games. Mean, but then there's the Donkey Kong Country Returns was by far better than the previous one. Mario Kart 8, I thought, was better than all the past ones.
Yeah, but these are all like
first party games.
Oh.
So. Other than Tropical Freeze,
WarioWare be first party?
No, WarioWare was made by. if I'm not mistaken, WarioWare was made by a third
Team
party.
WarioWare, whatever. Like, yeah. I think it's first party. It's just, no. I think it, there's, I suppose I was categorizing it a little different. Like, there's those big franchises, not franchises.
They have a team dedicated to that. What the fuck is wrong with them?
You know, Team Wario. Yeah.
The roll is my favorite. Oh, good. Make 10 more.
Well, they also make, like, the Rhythm Heaven game.
What's Team Wii Sports up to nowadays?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Did I
they probably make like they probably made those the like the plane games
Nintendo Land.
Nintendo. Yeah. Their big name games are always going to be good. I mean, like the Mario Karts and the, you know, things like that.
Splatoon hasn't drugged them out of the gutter.
Splatoon I heard was good.
What is the performance on that?
1 million copies sold.
Yeah. I heard it's pretty good. I hear it's pretty good, but
considering how that's a seventh of the Wii U ownership.
I mean, you think about how long the Wii U has been out versus how many games, like how many great games are on the console. They're just, I mean, it's a really poor library. I mean, they just don't have the third party support for the game. The idea of the tablet is not as interesting to developers, I don't think, as like the Wii was when it came out with its motion control. So they could justify making, you know, like something for the Wii because it was like a new thing and a new gimmick that was cool and people were catching on to it. But with the Wii U, it's like now you're just kind of justifying making a game on old hardware.
Well, if you think about it, back in the day with the...
I don't want to think about it.
With the original Wii, they... Most of the games that came out were shovelware. And we kind of lived in an era where the market was hot for shovelware and cheaply made games, and it just cheaply integrated motion controls. But that gimmick was trendy enough that sold well.
But they still had enough good... There were still good quality third-party games.
I think that they all kind of... If you think... The original Wii released a long time ago, and... I think that they kept up the releases the same as the Wii U did. For as far as actual quality, there wasn't that many on the Wii after a very large time span. If you were to count all the good third and first party games that released, there really isn't as many as you think. It's just that there's a whole lot of mass of all the other stuff. The problem with this is that we do have some solid third and first party titles, but lacking in third especially, and we don't have matchups with the big ones for the other consoles. But we don't have anything else. There's literally nothing. If you look at the full library, it's so sparse.
Mm-hmm.
The Wii, original Wii, you could fill up the library with all sorts of junk because people bought the console. Especially ignorant people who didn't know what they were getting, and they would go to the store and pick up the trashiest game that still funds the system.
I wish he would have called out. I wish he would have admitted that the name Wii U was a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, it was fucking confusing. After they announced it at E3, I still didn't know what it was. I had to have it, like, explained to me twice. Like, it was like, okay, so...
Why is it that... I believe that it confused people, because it obviously did, but I'm confused as to why it confused people, because a lot of people make systems where they iterate off of the same title, and it's not been that confusing.
First of all, the way they revealed it didn't make any fucking sense. It was just like... A tablet, and they were focusing on the tablet, and they were showing tablet stuff, and they're like, Wii, and they're showing Wiimotes, and people are like, wait, Wiimotes? And it wasn't clear at all that you have this console, that the new controller is this tablet, and there's four, you use your old controllers, and so people were like, wait, is it like a plug-in for the Wii? Because then they didn't actually show the Wii U very well, like the actual system, so you mostly just saw the tablet. I swore after the press conference that they ran the system, if it was a new system, it was a handheld slash console, plug into the TV, and ran off a tablet. That's what it integrated with the old Wii. Like, it ran off or something. I was trying to wrap my mind around it, and what they showed looked like an old Wii to me.
So that sounds, that sounds bad.
It was super fucking
bad. Is there anything inherently wrong with the title? Because, like, the Xbox 360 isn't necessarily, like, clear as, like, if at the time.
It's because of Wii U.
Yeah, so it's the original console.
360
like a thing.
But U, it's not even a number, it's just a letter. I mean, what does it mean?
360 is a little... doesn't make much sense, but it sounds kind of cool.
Well, there's two things here. There's two big differences between the Xbox and the Wii. One, the Xbox had always gone up. It had never had previous names to its other generations. Nintendo's never done a GameCube 2. Well, did a Super Nintendo, so I guess that doesn't quite count.
But it's Super. That's easy to understand.
Yeah, it was Super.
In the 90s, it worked.
But no, see, okay. First of all, you...
I don't know how much I buy this.
First of all, you is fucking nothing. Second, 360...
360 is a bigger number than nothing.
Yeah,
debating the relative value of you.
So I would say, when I was talking about the Xbox 360 when it was out, throughout the entire lifespan, even now, I don't call it the Xbox 360. I call it the 360. With the Wii U, I don't call it the U.
Maybe you should.
The old console title in the name.
Maybe you should.
Hey, you going to play some U? I'm going to play U.
That sounds... See, I'm confused. Like, I don't know what you're saying right now. You might as well be speaking.
Let's go play some Mario Kart on the U. Yeah.
You what?
Fair. Okay.
Fair. So. Excuse me. So was that everything about the Wii U? Was that? Are we good?
Yeah, we're
Phil,
good.
You good?
I'm good.
Phil still doesn't know what a Wii U is.
It's
like he's like looking at us so confused. I can see it in his eye.
Mario.
I know. I played the Wii U.
I wanted to talk just briefly about the Uncharted. So everybody, I mean, most of us saw like the gameplay demo at
E3. Yeah.
They showed behind the closed doors. They showed an extended version of that video that was basically like twice as long and had some other stuff. And then they released it to the public this week. And I watched it, and it was fucking awesome. It was really cool. He slides around in the mud. And, like, the mud effects were incredible.
Sweet.
And he's, like, sliding while holding a rope and shooting, like, side to side while he's sliding around. And he, like, gets on the Jeep and, like, fights guys and then jumps to another Jeep and drives it. And then at the end, like, the most important part, which is just something I really enjoy about the series, is him and Sully, him as in Nathan Drake, his brother, I think his name's Sam... And then Sully, they're like talking about their triumph that they made it out of there alive and talking about this treasure and where it is. And then they walk through a door and Nate looks up with a oh shit look on his face. And Elena is standing there and she says something like basically implying that she didn't know that they were getting back together to hunt for a treasure. And she looks none too pleased about it. And
they're still married, right?
Yeah,
we don't know.
I think it would make sense to.
She's not happy.
Yeah, he's just being
kind of a dick.
Yeah, kind of a dick.
Kind of a bad husband.
Yeah.
So yeah, the characterization in those games, I enjoyed a lot. It's like watching a movie.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really cool. Did you guys see anybody else watching? It's pretty sweet. You should watch it.
There's not much that I need
watch,
to see.
Watch the mud at least. Just watch him being dragged through the mud.
I'll do it for the mud.
Do it for the mud. Didn't we talk, like, way, way back on an episode about future drugs, and one of them was called mud?
Yes.
Mud. Am I crazy, or did that happen?
Yeah, that happened. I think River came up with it.
Yeah.
Take some mud.
So Uncharted, obviously I'm excited. Another thing I wanted to talk about, Jack, you... are a wrestling fan. The rest of you,
I'm kind of a wrestling fan. I like it. And
the rest
like
of you
it.
Are wrong. Yeah.
No. I actually recently I went on YouTube and I watched a more recent wrestling match. I wish I remember the guy's name, but he just this one younger wrestler. He was talking smack, and then the other dude just ran out and just did all these fucking flips and just beat the shit out of him in 5 minutes.
That was the best description of a wrestling match I've ever heard in my life.
This
guy came out just did a bunch of fucking flips.
It was awesome. It makes me want to get back into wrestling. I just can't get off my butt and do it. It's not.
You don't have to get off your butt. Just turn on the TV.
Yeah, I know, right?
You need to be on your butt.
I know, right? It's just this. I got all this other recreational stuff I do. Like I read after.
So the problem is that
I do comic books. I draw, and I just don't take the time to watch wrestling. And I should, because it seems like it's getting better.
Hey, if you want someone to recommend some matches, right here.
Or sweet.
Here. that it's funny because when you are telling the story, I'm picturing it in my head, and I'm picturing a guy coming out to the ring and being like, "Oh yeah, you want to talk shit? Well, check this out." Just like, doing like six backflips and then leaving.
That's almost what it was. That's almost what it was. He walked out with this purple cape.
Purple cape. Maybe you're talking about Adrian Neville.
I think that might be it.
Could be. He's really good and does flips a lot.
Yes.
So the reason I bring this up is because it was announced this week that WWE 2K16 is going to have a roster with 120 unique characters. Now, the important distinction there is that in the past few years, they've had a lot of, like, a huge roster, but you'd have a lot of repeats, like the old version of this character, or the, you know, the good guy version of this character, and then the bad one, and just different things like that. So you'd have, like four of the same guy, and it would just clog up the roster with a bunch of repeated characters. So this is, so in 2K15, there was, technically speaking, on the base game, before DLC, there was 67 unique wrestlers. And this one's 120. So it's almost twice the amount of wrestlers that were in the last game, which for any wrestling fan is awesome. And I wonder, I have to be curious about like the implications of that. If it's going to be, you know, a bunch of legend wrestlers, obviously it has to be. And then they have a smaller show called NXT, which I've talked about before, and I'm hoping a lot of the guys from there make
it.
A lot of indie guys. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's exciting. It's exciting to hear. I'm cool with that. Especially since, like, they have to, like, do full body scans of everyone on the roster. So the idea of having 120 just... That's just a crazy amount of character models.
So do those games, the more recent ones, mm-hmm. like, include, like, really old costumes for different...
In some ways, it's more likely that they'll just be a completely different character model and like a different slot on the roster than have a different costume. But
so if I want to play like classic Triple H, like can I do that?
You could. And in fact, in last year's selling game, that was in there. You could be old Triple H and then new.
That's awesome.
So less hair Triple H.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Can you change the different theme songs?
Like they all have their own. Yeah, I mean, if you pick like an old version of a guy with a different that had different music at the time.
Yeah, I want the Lemmy version with Triple H.
Yeah, I think that was there.
Cool,
that's so awesome.
So I like that. That was exciting to me. Johnny's wrong.
Hey, I beat Guacamelee, and I watched Nacho Libre.
It's offensive.
That is offensive.
You're walking down the wrong road in life.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're about to get... Never mind.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah. That's like a better version of what I was going to say.
Like a more appropriate
one. Yeah. Because he said you were walking down a road, and I was going to be like, yeah, and you're about to get hit by a bus. And I was like, Jesus, that's kind of harsh. So I take that back. Another piece of news... that was announced just in the last couple of days is that Street Fighter V,
your Six Flags.
Yeah, woo! Yeah. If you have Six Flags nearby, go play Street Fighter V. For some reason, that's what they're doing. You can play it at Six Flags.
If you want to burn your flesh, if you want to put on some,
I'm very curious where this is going.
Just to have it wear off in 2 seconds, all for the sole purpose of playing Street Fighter V. Please go to Six Flags.
Phil, I'm guessing you had a bad experience with sunburns at Six Flags.
I did. I also had a bad experience with sunburns at Warped Tour. It was one of the dumbest things I ever did in my life.
Did you not wear sunscreen at Warped Tour?
I did, but it just wore off really quick. My sister can go to Warped Tour on her own next time, and she is.
Yeah, if you're listening,
you didn't dig Warped
Tour. Go by yourself.
It was just where they had it. It was a terrible area. It was so crowded. There were so many people there. No, you have no idea how... It was the most crowded thing. I had to cling on to my sister and her friends so we can stay together. And it was just the most fucked up thing. Here's the problem. No, it was all for the sole purpose of... I'm sure you guys like Yellow Card. It was all for the sole purpose of seeing a couple of bands that made some videos that I watched when I was 16. And I burnt up for this.
Hey,
and
nostalgia is
Yellow Card.
There was nothing wrong with nostalgia. But yeah, I saw Yellow Card was there. Yeah, yellow card was there, and they sounded cool, but it wasn't worth the pain and suffering I went through that day.
They were popular back in the day. They had a few big songs.
I think my sister saw them, but I didn't.
But that being said, where were we?
Where were we? That is a good... Oh, so Street Fighter V. Street Fighter V, the point of this is that Street Fighter V, it was announced that if you get Street Fighter V, you will only ever need that disc. You won't have to buy an updated version down the road called Super Street Fighter V or Super Street Fighter V Ultra or so on and so forth.
I think that makes utmost sense, but will the downloads, the updates, actually be called Street Fighter V Super? Like, will that
probably. I would imagine that they'll update the game so it has like a different title, but maybe. Maybe not. But the point is all these updates will be downloadable. Which is good, which is the way it should be in this day and age. You shouldn't have to buy the disc over again just for four new characters. So I like that. Street Fighter V news is cool.
Go to Six Flags.
Now, these two pieces of news are related. They came from the same source, which was a Nolan North... A Nolan North
mistake.
Has Nolan North specifically made other mistakes? Because I forget. Like I feel
there's
like he
always
has.
Voice actors.
Well, it's always there's always voice actors.
I don't think Nolan North specifically has. Yeah. To answer your question, I think
I just
that,
can't remember who else. I've seen like
the developers are like this fucking panels. Voice actors just keeping their mouth shut.
I feel like voice actors must not get paid enough to keep their mouth shut about a project.
Of course they don't.
Johnny, why don't you hit this up?
The first one was that during a panel. where was this?
This was at Springfield.
Oh, yes. There's some Wait. That a story? Are we talking about the news? Or is there a story?
Yeah. No, this expo with Nolan North.
Which expo? What's this?
Springfield.
Springfield Expo.
At the Willamette Lane Sports Center.
I'm
lying. I don't know where it was. Who cares? It's probably in Los Angeles.
It was, so Nolan North basically leaked Last of Us 2. Or he did. He was just like...
The quote was like, somebody was asking about if he has any other projects with Naughty Dog after he's done with Uncharted 4. And he's like, and he said, his quote was like, "Well, I know they're working on like Last of Us 2, but my character had a pretty definitive end in the Last of Us, so I probably won't be in there." That was kind of what he said.
Which could definitely be like I figure they'd make a sequel, and they probably won't have me in it. But it could also be like a fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, you said I know. Like it sounded pretty. It sounded like he had just been like talking with developers because why wouldn't he have been?
Yeah,
and then he just didn't even think about it.
Like, he was like, "Yeah, we're gonna."
Because he was like really casual. Like he was just sitting on the front of the table at the.
He said it in a way that I think that like he thought that they already announced it like way before.
Yeah,
like it's like. Like halfway through its marketing campaign and stuff, he just like, "Oh yeah, Last of Us 2. Oh yeah,
there wasn't even like nothing went off afterwards. There was no light bulb afterwards. Like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Like, he just kept going.
Like, wait, that wasn't announced at E3.
Shit. He probably went home like a week later. He's like, "I want to watch the Last of Us 2 trailer again. Yeah, pull it up." He's like, "Wait. Where is it?
You like,
shit.
Oh, shit. I forgot. I watched that on some guy's computer." Naughty Dog Studios. The other piece of news that came out from his interview was that he spoke briefly about the about his relationship with Amy Hennig, who used to work at Naughty Dog and now works at EA, and her project, her Star Wars project. And he said that it's not Star Wars 1313, but it is in the same vein as Star Wars 1313. It's like it's along the same lines.
So it's Star Wars Uncharted.
Yeah.
He
said something about it being inspired by Uncharted.
Which is funny. I don't know. I like Uncharted for Uncharted. But I liked all of the concepts behind 1313. I didn't like the Uncharted part about 1313. That was the thing that I was the least. I was just like, I don't want that at all. It's just something about it just did not click. And Amy Hennig could turn it around. She could make it intriguing, but they had like a dark, intriguing setup for a Star Wars game, and they decided to make it like a blockbuster PG-13 epic kind of vibe.
Hmm.
With, platforming and Uncharted. Like, quirky one-liners, and that's not at all what this premise.
Was there quirky one-liners?
Oh yeah, it was totally quirky. He was like, he said something like snotty, and he just like jumped off a fucking building.
Like it was just, it was like new Dante levels of edginess. Like yeah. It was.
I haven't seen it in so long that I honestly can't remember. But I remember when I saw it, I was like, oh, this looks cool.
I thought the shooting looked terrible too.
All I care about is that the shooting didn't look terrible.
I stand by it. I rewatched that footage like 10 times just to reaffirm that I. Why
well, I rewatch it 20 times. So.
I had big beef with that game because the protagonist was apparently Boba Fett.
It was.
What? You have beef with it for that?
Yeah. Boba Fett is not supposed to be some big, interesting character.
But like, he was.
You know,
he's not!
Back!
He's quiet. He's silent. He's the Clint Eastwood of space. He's mysterious. He shouldn't be a young... Yeah.
Jump off the... Wait, is that the way he is, though, in the game?
Yeah. Hold on. Dante, new Dante levels of edginess.
Let me ask you this, Jack. Do you have a problem with Boba Fett being the central point of a game, like the main protagonist, or do you have a problem with their take on the character who would become Boba Fett later on?
Both. Little bits of both.
Okay.
Because if there... I think you could have a Boba Fett main character game. It would have to be very different from the way AAA games work. Because Boba Fett, like, the way he's established in the universe is not like this...
Action hero.
No, he's like, he's good at what he does. He's a Mandalorian.
He's slow, too. All the scenes he's in.
Like, and you think, like, if you just judge him based on the movies, like, he's not even that good. Like, he never actually does much of anything. Like, he just had a really badass costume. Like,
and a really bad day.
But, like, he's...
he was also... I mean, it's implied that he is, that he's done some shit in the past.
He's a Mandalorian. I mean, of course. Like he, and so it makes sense. But I just I take issue with the concept that he's supposed to be this action hero that just.
That's fair. I can understand that. I have a I think a Boba Fett game would be cool, and I would like to see like more. You know, like obviously he has no backstory in the original trilogy. He's like he just kind of shows up out of nowhere, and it's implied that he's very good at what he does, and that's why he was chosen for the bounty and whatever. But it would be cool, I think, to see some game developers take on his backstory and stuff. I don't disagree with what you guys are saying about him not necessarily being like this action hero that gets in these epic, crazy shoot 'em up moments.
A Boba Fett game, I think, is totally valid. It's got to be a slow paced game. It's got to be like a Star Wars hitman in the dark. It's got to be M rated. It's got to be gritty. He's not talking. He's a silent protagonist. Like you got to
see. I'm
gotta
that. Have, that's
like,
cool.
He could have like gritty lines like Candorous Ordo in the KOTOR games. Yeah. Like
a Star Wars version of Hitman.
That would be amazing. Open world, you have to hunt down people, follow the patterns. That's what Boba Fett did. He didn't jump from falling giant buildings. It's just that 1313 was all spectacle. That's what Uncharted delivers. And they do a good job for Uncharted because that's supposed to be like a modern Harrison Ford action movie kind of thing. But like this is a very... Boba Fett isn't like that. He's not about that. That's not what makes him cool. And if you make that, it kind of kills the mystery behind... I mean, people like Boba Fett, even though he didn't do anything. So, like, well, you have to think, why do they like him? It's because he's mysterious. It's because he's got this cool lifestyle, and he expands the universe just from his job.
Yeah, and you could make a game where that still holds true, and there's still that kind of mystery, like Hitman, like with Agent 47.
I mean, shouldn't be run and gun.
Yeah, that I agree with. I agree with you guys on that.
I don't think platforming was also Boba Fett's big thing either.
He obviously wasn't very good at platforming, or he probably wouldn't have got
fucking. Oh, fly! No.
Oh shit! Yeah, that's a good point.
I can't do sand.
I would argue that he's pretty bad at platforming. Yeah.
It'd be a good way to start the game with him having to regain his reputation from the fact he fell into the fucking sand monster because it was so embarrassing.
The Sarlacc.
What?
The Sarlacc.
This was called the Sarlacc.
Sarlacc.
Yeah,
Sarlacc pit. Yeah,
yeah. Like that. That's how the game you'd start. That's how the game would start out. You get out of the Sarlacc pit and
punch your way out.
You just ride the Sarlacc around.
Well, someone just saves your ass. Someone just saves your ass. Like pulls him out. And in the Dark Horse comics, his ex girlfriend pulls him out. I'm sure. I'm serious.
His ex girlfriend.
Now, which Dark Horse comic was that? Was that one of the What Ifs, or was it?
I think which it was. One was it? I think. Okay. No, it was a comedy. It was a comedy version. But anyway, someone pulls him out. He survives.
His baby mama.
Because the.
He survives the Sarlacc, the Warlock. What's it called? The
Sarlacc. Sarlacc.
I'm saying that would be a cool premise.
Wait, his ex-girlfriend?
Wait, no. 1313
having to rebuild your reputation from that moment.
1313 has like 19-year-old Boba Fett.
So yeah, it's young Boba Fett, but we're reminiscing the Boba Fett game we'd all like to see.
So you want to see a game where he's the laughing stock of the universe because because he fell into the Sarlacc pit
and he has to re-earn his reputation. Like, don't fuck with Boba Fett. Yeah.
No one takes him seriously. No one tries to get a job.
Like, no, it's like someone's like, "Yeah, you're the one who fucked up with Luke," and the Boba Fett just does something cool, and he throws a grenade at him. And he's like, "Don't fuck with me."
He blows him to pieces for making fun of him. Oh, okay. I that could be interesting.
at least we're having a funny segment.
Okay, so
this is humorous.
1313 was set in like the underworld of Coruscant in this like. Sketchy, like.
I thought it was planet to planet. I thought there was multiple.
It was Coruscant, and it was a big block of the city.
The name came from the 1313 came from like the level of the.
So like it's which level? You're in one location the whole game. You're in one underground thing, which is what sounded intriguing to me. I'm like, oh shit, bounty hunting 1313. You go to the suite. You see the underworld of Star Wars. It's not explored nearly enough in non books. So, like, I thought it would be awesome, but then it was Uncharted, and I was like, that's not what I wanted to see with this setting. Star Wars Uncharted could work in some way, I just don't think that the...
Not with Boba Fett.
Not with that intriguing premise, either. Give me something else, I don't fucking care. Like, and I'm far more interested in that, in the premise working a different way.
They should replace him with Jar Jar. Would that work?
Phil, your Star Wars ideas are depressing me.
My Star Wars ideas are George Lucas ideas, man. Yeah. These are the ideas that he turned into Disney and Disney turned down.
I understand what you guys are talking about. I think I have a better understanding of what the complaints, like, Johnny, your complaints were about this game before. I will say that Jack, illustrated it a little bit better.
God fucking damn it.
Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Another game that is hopefully getting announced soon, because there were some domains that were registered for this game, is Mafia 3.
Now,
there was like three different domains registered by. What were you gonna say, Phil?
I was gonna ask, and I should have waited for you to finish. But what I was gonna ask was, I read here that it was going to be a AAA first person shooter.
No.
That'd be dumb.
I'm going to tell you right now that that's not true. I don't know where you read that or how.
Triple A third person. I'm sorry.
Phil, you crazy bastard.
There haven't really been any official details.
No, it was rumored a few years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
May even be longer than that. I don't remember. Maybe it was just like last year. It was rumored that the game would take place in like Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be, it would have like three characters similar to like GTA 5. Mm-hmm. And you would kind of switch back and forth. I don't know if it was like active switching or just goes from like story to story. But that was the rumor. And I don't know how that came out, how much we can believe that. But I think it was like some casting thing that news came from. But that would be cool. I'd be down with that. That would be kind of an interesting take on like a Mafia type story.
Depending on how they handle it, Mafia is sort of in the position like The Witcher. I was talking to you about this. The Witcher 2 was like this game that really sort of showed you what it could turn into.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really intriguing, really exciting, but really short. And
you wanted more out of it.
Yeah, you felt like it was going to be bigger. You felt like it was going to be better. It still had all these flaws. Mafia 2 is like 6 hours long. There's this open world that you can't do anything in.
It was longer than that.
No. If you go to How Long to Beat, it's like 6 hours. Prove it. I'll fucking prove it. 12 hours. Jeez. Oh. Oh. Oh, how embarrassing. So, the Mafia 3 could be like The Witcher 3 of the Mafia series. I felt like it had a lot of potential.
And I wonder who's developing it.
It's 2K.
I know it's 2K, but what team is developing it? I'm curious about that.
2K.
Who developed the previous
main one?
It was like 2K Czech or something like that. I don't remember now. I'll have to look it up. There's a ton. I was under the impression that Mafia 2, like the developers for that game, that team, got disbanded. I may be wrong about that, but
2K Czech and there's still a website up.
Do they?
September. Yeah, they're still going.
So maybe they're just going to develop it, which would be cool. Mafia 2 was a really... I really liked it. There was just, like you said, I wanted more out of it. Like, I wanted... Because it built such a cool world that I wanted to do more in and be a bigger part of. Because it was just kind of... It, like, had this open world feel, but then it was very linear.
It really nailed its sense of style and storytelling as well.
Very much so.
And the shooting felt really good.
There was one thing I didn't like about the shooting, and it's a very small, stupid nitpick that most people probably wouldn't give a shit about.
Did it fall off buildings?
No, but I like falling off buildings. My biggest complaint is that when you shoot a guy with a gun, after you kill him, so after the final shot, the bullets stop registering. They stop hitting him, so they just start going through. Now, keep in mind, when you're shooting someone with, like, a handgun, it's not a big deal. You know, you shoot him, like, 3 times, and you're done. You're not going to keep, like, shooting him. Ah! But if you have, like, a Thompson, the most iconic Mafia-style weapon that there is.
You got to shoot him after.
A Thompson machine gun. You got to keep shooting him.
So, like...
Until the drum is empty. You keep shooting them until they're, like, just in pieces. But you shoot them like 4 times and they die, and then you keep shooting them and they just fall over. And so that was it just took away.
I understand the pet peeve behind that.
I didn't notice that.
I noticed it immediately.
What did you play on? Played on PC.
I played on 360. I played it on PC. Done both.
So did the last hit like ragdoll them, or do they have a preset death animation?
They have a system where it's like a mixture of both. Like they have an animation mixed with like physics. So that when they fall, they kind of like ragdoll and stuff. So kind of like I'm trying to think of another, like the Killzone series had a similar kind of thing, where it's like an animation, but it's not like a canned. There's still physics attached to them.
Okay.
But like I said, once that final hit registers, you're done. You're done. You're shooting. So just when I play like a third person shooting game where most of what you're doing is just blasting dudes. I want it to be as satisfying as possible. So I noticed that right away. It bothered me a little bit. No big deal, though. Phil, there was some comic book stuff you wanted to talk about. So yeah. Let's just take this time.
Yeah, let's just get it over with.
Phil, tell him.
No, fuck you. No.
But anyway. That was not a joke, by the way. He kind of yelled it.
Fuck. No, I that was a joke. But anyway, so yeah, there's been some comic book news that I wanted to talk about. I'm actually really excited about most of it. So following the this big Marvel event called Secret Wars, in which their entire multiverse and all these continuities that were created in the Marvel timeline since the 60s just start to merge together and just all hell breaks loose, and everything is destroyed except for one universe.
And they're doing it as a way to relaunch the Marvel universe.
But it's been very carefully built up to and very carefully done. But following, I'm going to talk about what they plan on doing after that. They're promising an all new, all different Marvel, and they're certainly living up to that. There are some things that I think eventually people will get tired of, but all in all, hopefully they'll be able to pump out some really good stories before then. There's a new character taking the mantle of Hawkeye.
They're completely, like, some of the stuff, I have a hard time dealing with, like, big changes with things that I love a lot.
I understand.
And they're completely, like, I mean, almost every character has some sort of difference, like, some sort of big change that they that they've made to them.
Yeah.
Steve Rogers is now old Steve Rogers, right?
Yeah, Steve Rogers has given up his mantle as Captain America.
Who's Captain America now? Falcon?
Yeah, Falcon. Sam Wilson is now Captain America. And I have no problem with a black Captain America.
So what does Steve Rogers do now that he's old?
So he's called... he's basically... Steve Rogers, he's probably like the going to be the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something.
So he's going to be like the new Nick Fury.
Yeah, he's going to play a big role in the Marvel Universe still. He's just not going to have the mantle as Captain America. And I'm fine with Sam Wilson as Captain America. I'm fine with Kate Bishop being a female Hawkeye. I'm fine with, you know, female characters taking mantles of male characters. I'm fine with the
Old
female.
Man Logan.
Yeah, Old Man Logan is going to be in the continuity, the main continuity of Marvel. So, in a way, you know, Wolverine isn't dead. That Logan's still around. But X-23, Wolverine's female clone, is taking up the mantle of Wolverine. She's going to be wearing, like, the yellow costume and everything.
Is she going to be in the X-Men?
Yeah, she's going to be in the X-Men. So, yeah, there's going to be... So, I'm just glad that you know, they actually didn't go and give the character sex changes. That would be so suck.
Oh, so you're saying you would rather not that, like, the characters had a surgical transformation?
Yes, I would rather not. I'm
glad. You would rather they just be one or the other? Yes. Like, as in, that's where they...
Because I'm very
different,
ignorant.
A completely different character.
Because I'm ignorant like that, yeah.
So let me... Wait, hold on. I don't think you're being ignorant. I think what you're trying to say is you wouldn't like it if, like, Peter Parker, as you grew up loving him, if they explain the story by he gets a sex change.
Is yeah, I'm glad they're not doing that, yeah.
You would rather just have it be a completely different character.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the popular opinion for a lot of people. Some other people, not so much, but wait, I'm not going to worry about that.
Considering giving characters?
No, they're not. I'm just simply saying there are people who are unhappy about the fact that they're having a female character be Hawkeye. There are people who are unhappy about the fact that they're having a female character play Wolverine for now. There are people who are unhappy about the fact that they're getting, you know, a female to play not just Wolverine and Hawkeye, but also Thor. But they're not actually... That's how I prefer it. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people do take issue with it, but it's not like they're doing anything too over the top, too ridiculous.
And I think, and I agree with you in the sense that what I think you're getting at is that rather than changing the core, like the actual characters, mm-hmm. you would just rather have it be them completely separate them.
Yes, and there's a problem. I mean, some people were upset about. Sam Wilson being Captain America. Some people thought it was just a random black guy that they made into Captain America, but no, Sam Wilson is a well-known character, and he's a pretty stand-up guy, and it makes sense.
It makes sense.
As far
I think
as
it's cool.
I know, they're also with Spider-Man, there's a gay black Spider-Man now.
I don't know if he's gay, but Miles Morales is... Yeah. He's also he's a really great character.
Yeah, he's an awesome character, which is cool. He's a completely different character. Mm-hmm. Peter Parker is separated. They're two different... characters, so
I'm curious, has this gone in the other way as far as there being like male characters that take up the mantle of female heroes?
That's a good question. I don't know if there has.
I don't think there has.
I can't think of any.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
It would be Jean cool. Grey is just hey, it's me, Jean Grey, what's up?
Hey, I'm Jean.
That would be
it's like a French guy.
But anyway, basically I'm just going through the new changes that Marvel's having and my opinions of it. So yes, there's gonna be, you know, female Hawkeye, female Thor, female Wolverine, and that's all fine. Old Man Logan's there too. But here's another thing that's cool.
Sorry, I just want to say real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
For those of you guys that don't know, Old Man Logan was a really cool, like just one-shot story about... It was like a, you know, a hypothetical thing. It wasn't, like, a part of the main continuity. Mm-hmm. It took place in, like, its own...
Its own apocalyptic future.
Yeah. So in this apocalyptic future, almost all the villains basically won.
They beat the superheroes. Mm-hmm. There's a few superheroes left over. And it's just this horribly, like, messed up and grotesque take on the apocalypse as it would happen in the Marvel Universe. And, for example, like, each, like, the U.S. is split into, like, basically, territories that are controlled by different, like, characters. And one of them is controlled by Hulk and his inbred offsprings. Hulk. So, screws She-Hulk, who is his cousin.
Ah.
And they have like, these disfigured offspring who then have more kids.
That's horrifying.
And so there's just this, like, disgusting, like, grotesque family of Hulks that are, like, disfigured and messed up. And it's just, there's just a bunch of stuff like that. It's, like, a really dark, and Wolverine, like, it doesn't kill anymore. He has his own family and lives on the prairie. And he has to, like, basically go on, like, one last... What's he trying to do? I forget.
It's sort of like an Unforgiven old man Logan. I know that he comes back and things don't turn out well
for it's the nasty. Prairie.
And that's what I remember.
Yeah. It was really cool, though. Like, it was a really well-told story. It was just, like, seeing that was kind of like,
But because Hulk, of...
what did you do?
Yeah. So, why would you do that? And leave it to Mark Millar, the writer, to do these really outrageous stuff. There's good Mark Millar, and then there's bad Mark Millar. Mark Millar when he's just fucking around, and Mark Millar when, you know, he's being pretty ballsy, but still telling a good story.
Yeah.
But then, so that character is coming to the main continuity because of the collision of different Earths and multiverses, and different Earths and universes and such. But one thing that's really cool is the new Uncanny X-Men title. So it consists of most all former Brotherhood of Mutants cast members. So
Sabretooth?
Yeah, Sabretooth. And he looks like original Sabretooth. Looking Sabretooth.
Count me in.
Magneto and Mystique.
Blob?
I don't think so.
Toad?
Maybe, but I know that another really cool guy, Weapon 10, is going to be there. He's kind of a badass. But that's pretty sweet. There's going to be kind of a fight between Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson. It's going to be called Captain America, Dawn of America.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to talk about the most outrageous thing that Marvel is doing. This is one that I do find odd. This is one that I don't fault people for kind of having some criticism over.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll wait and see. So even though the Ultimate Universe... Now, if you guys don't know what the Ultimate Universe was, it was a continuity that was started in the 2000s where it was supposed to basically modernize all the superheroes that were...
And relaunch them. It was kind of a tie-in with, you know, the oncoming movies, basically. It was a way to get new readers to be able to start fresh and understand what was going on without, like, decades worth of stories they had to follow and to get into and everything. It was a relaunch of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and it was the reason why we have Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury. So anyway, even though the Ultimate Universe is gone, they're still keeping the Ultimates title alive. And I don't really know why they'd want to do that, but they're doing it for whatever reason. And it's going to star Black Panther, Captain Marvel, who, by the way, is another female version.
Who is?
Captain Marvel. She's a female now, but I hear that book is really good. But here's the bomb. Here's the biggest bomb of all.
Give me the bomb.
Do you know who is another member of this team? He is an actual member.
Of the X-Men?
No, of the Ultimates. He's an actual member of the Ultimates. Do you know who this is going to be? It's Galactus. No, I'm serious. Galactus is actually apparently going to be a member of this team.
How is that going to work?
I have no fucking idea.
So are they just going to be like, all right, these guys are attacking Galactus. Take them out. He fucking eats worlds.
Yeah, what how are they going to do?
How is he going to solve a bank robbery?
Is he going to do that? I have no idea how that's going to work, but it's one of the most outrageous changes as far as I'm concerned.
Worlds.
I don't care about Sam Wilson being Captain America. I don't care about these female versions of these characters. They're not going to last forever anyhow. But Galactus, that is strange. It's going to take a hell of a creative writer to make that work. So we'll wait and see. But in other superhero-related news, they've announced the new Batman movie for 2018. And, you know, whether or not there was going to be a new Batman movie kind of went dark for a while. No one was hearing anything about it. They just knew that he was going to be in the next Superman movie. But it's coming out in 2018, and it's just called The Batman. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that's kind of neat. Ben Affleck, director of, you know, he directed Argo, right?
Argo, Gone Baby Gone, The Town.
Not only is he going to be Batman, he's going to be directing it. So it's going to be the first Batman movie where Batman directed his own movie.
That's cool.
Pretty interesting.
No. That is cool. He's a great director. All three of those movies are really good.
Which movie?
Ben Affleck is directing a new Batman.
I think Johnny just...
as Batman.
Had a heat stroke and just woke up from it.
Yeah.
Wait, so we're not talking about Suicide franchise?
No, the 2018 Batman.
Batman movie solo film.
Yeah, and Ben Affleck is directing it. So, yeah. If I heard Kevin Smith correctly, and I don't think that he gets bad sources. He talks to the same people that Ben Affleck talks to, and I think it's official now.
I would say that Kevin Smith is a good source of accurate information.
A lot of people have been really critical of Ben Affleck in the Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, well, wait and see.
I've got
my own complaints about that movie, but like Ben Affleck is like the one thing I think works best.
He's going to be a great Batman.
I think he'll be totally fantastic.
We'll do it.
This is coming from a huge. I was when they announced that he was going to be, because that was the first bit of any news we got for any new Batman.
I admit
people flip out.
No, like, I admit to not being happy about it either, because people would joke, like, what if Ben Affleck became Batman, right? And then lo and behold, it was Ben Affleck. But why is it willing?
It's not like he's some joke of an actor. Like, he's stoked.
I think a lot of people still think of him from.
He's fucking Batman.
Yeah, he does. I think a lot of people still think about Ben Affleck from like earlier roles that he had, like in like kind of the mid 2000s, where he just like kind of in these shitty movies and stuff. But when I hear that, I'm thinking of Ben Affleck in The Town, where he's just a fucking badass.
Yeah.
I can understand people getting upset, like, oh, there's going to be a new Joker and Heath Ledger is not it. That's, you can't beat Heath Ledger, even though
of course not.
Jokers, yeah. But like, and you know, the Jared Leto Joker is a fucking joke. But that's a whole other thing. Like this isn't like it's some ridiculous thing. Like, Christian Bale wasn't the best Batman. Like, he was fine.
The Batman movies were great.
Yeah.
Christian Bale as Batman, you could make the argument that he was not a great Batman.
Yeah, I thought he was solid.
He was passable.
He was passable, it worked because the movies worked.
But I wasn't watching Batman because Christian Bale was fucking Batman. I didn't care. Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck, I absolutely love his directing and his acting talent.
Swear to me.
Man, I love that line. I love that scene.
I love that scene.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool line.
That's a bad scene. The guy who walks around college campuses dressed as Batman. Misquoting the movie. What are you?
That's pretty
funny.
Is that all you had about comics?
Yeah, there's a lot of cool Marvel stuff, a lot of different stuff happening, and Ben Affleck is directing the next Batman movie.
Cool.
Yeah.
Johnny and Jack, it is your guys' turn to tag team some news pieces. Starting with this game that I don't know how to pronounce called Elex.
That's actually an acronym.
Yeah, it is. Did you look it up?
Everyone loves
Everyone
X.
The acronym doesn't make sense for like a game or like a project name.
X.
I gotta find it. It was like, I don't even know what it meant. Like,
so who's making this?
It's made by Piranha Bytes.
It's okay. Before we move on, it is eclectic, lavish, exhilarating, zenial.
What the fuck?
That's the title of the fucking game.
This game is Polish, I think.
Wait, right? Can I see that again? When this comes out, I'm going to call GameSpot and ask for the full title.
Yeah, you got to ask for it, like, not in context of just saying the title. Like, so I'm looking for a game that's eclectic, lavish, exhilarating, and Xenial?
anything like that?
You mean Xenial game?
I don't know. This just isn't Xenial.
Just none of these have been eclectic enough for me. I mean,
it's not lavish.
I can get the other three adjectives a bit, but what about the game is going to be lavish?
Yeah.
So what's it's a good point. Strange about this, they released like a little teaser shot. This is made by Piranha Bytes, and they've made the first three Gothic games in the hardcore, you know, Polish RPG scene back in the day. And then they made Risen through Risen 3. Risen 2 and 3 sucked. But
apparently that is not the truth.
No, I've fuck you. Fuck
I haven't
you.
Gotten into
I was burned. My wallet was burned. That game should be burned.
I'm going to play both of them cuz it's a there's a you point can, of contention. The people who have played through the whole game say you just got to get into it. Apparently the second game has awesome pirate ship mechanics. You get to collect your crew.
That's one you large lard ass guy who I don't know why he's large. But
it's one fat ass guy.
And
that's
and
fattest, okay?
He's loud. He's like, dumb. I don't trust him. I played the game bad.
How long did you even play?
Okay, I actually played Resident 2 for about 5 hours, and I couldn't get into it. That being said, it had redeeming qualities. The combat system was such shite that I just couldn't.
What about 3? How much did you play that?
3, I couldn't get past an hour. It was the worst intro.
I'm going to play it.
He knows, too. He fucking knows. He came to my house. We played Risen 3.
We watched the trailer and we were like pumped.
Oh yeah, I was pumped. And then we played the game.
I've watched the trailer and thought it looked cool.
Did you play the first game?
No.
I mean, the first game would kick ass. It was one of my favorite.
And you haven't even fucking beaten it. You played like the first chapter of the game and you like, ooh.
Lines up for, I beat what matters, alright?
No. No, you didn't.
I beat what matters.
Which is
the first third of the game where it's still pretty closed off.
Yeah, no. No. Anyways, I digress. I beat the first third of the game 4 different times. Basically, I played it more. I just didn't beat it.
Well, keep in mind that I played through the first 2/3 of the game going the bandit route, and then I was like, no, and then I reverted back to a save point and played through the game on the Chantry. No, it's not the Chantry. What is it called in that game? The Abbey?
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, we like Risen.
The Inquisition side.
Inquisition.
It's belly sweat right there.
I'm glad.
I'm not. Sucks. Alright, sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm just glad I'm not the only one. I mean,
oh, gotcha. Yeah, well,
I'm swimming over here.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad you finally said something because I'm like sitting over here thinking, am I the only one sweating this bad?
I'm sweating my ass off.
Am I a fucking pig?
Am I an actual pig?
Anyway, sorry. So, what is this? Enough about this. arguing about Risen. What is this?
So
eclectic, lavish game.
The last time, basically, Piranha Bytes, Gothic 1 and 2 for the time was good, but now they're really dated. Gothic 3 released as a buggy mess that if you patch it and mod it enough and play the whatever, it kind of works.
Was Gothic 3 developed by the same people?
Yeah. Okay. There's Gothic 4 that wasn't.
We've been arguing about that one, too.
Yeah, we argue about Gothic 3. Basically, their last games in their franchises suck balls, and when they make a new IP, they kick ass.
See, I think the reason that you get in arguments with Johnny is because when he dislikes something, he's so harsh about it that even if you kind of agree with him, you're just like, do you have to be so harsh? I mean, does it really suck balls? Maybe it's just kind of mediocre. Anyway, sorry.
Suck balls, Gothic 3.
Okay.
So this new game is their new IP. It's their third IP, and last time they did that was Risen 1, which was one of my favorites, and still kind of is. So, yeah. I don't know what's up with the title.
When did Risen 3 come out, just out of curiosity?
Like, last year.
Yeah, wasn't that? I thought so.
Yeah.
It's like August, right?
It came out of nowhere, too.
Okay.
It was just like, Risen 3 Titan Lords out next month. I was like, what? And there's like a trailer. I was like, oh, cool. And then I played the first hour, and I was like, oh.
The mild not actually not even really mild, like incest tones, like throughout that first section.
Oh, dear sister, she's got her huge tits. It's
that's like, weird.
What did she kept saying about like his hands?
She made some creepy, weird innuendos like twice.
And the other thing about that was that this is a character from the previous games, and her character design was completely different. Like, she was kind of a booby lady in the first game, but not like this. Like, she was wearing just some normal, like, shitty clothes. Like, everybody wears shitty clothes in the Risen series. But just, like, in this, it looks like she went to a Halloween store and is like, give me the slutty pirate.
Give me the like, butt pants.
Give me the butt pants. I'll take them butt pants.
Sorry. There's certain things that you just have to say with a deep southern accent.
You know, I just typed in Risen 4 on images and I wound up with two gay parents.
There's no Risen 4.
Is that the porno?
Well, I heard Risen 3.
So. Gothic 4 and Risen 3. I think you got them mixed up.
God damn it.
The Gothic 4 was not my coronavirus. Anyway, so...
We don't talk about that.
The storytelling in the first hour of this game is amongst like some of the worst. It's so bad, it's laughable. It's like...
Everything about it was bad. The gameplay was just...
like the tutorial was just like one of the worst I've ever seen.
There's like a puzzle that doesn't make any sense.
We were laughing at how comedically bad the game was, and then Jack says he wants to play it.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm gonna 100% it. A chance. There's no, nothing wrong.
You're 100% it.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
I love that.
I know.
I dig it. Go for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's enough people who have talked about it on like the subreddits and stuff.
Fucking Witcher.
Yeah.
I kind of see Johnny's point there.
Yeah.
But you know what? Wait, what? What did you say?
He said big dick.
I don't know why.
I heard what he said, but I just don't know.
Like, he said that you are a big dick.
Okay, well, you can't just declare big dick out of nowhere without specifying.
I think the heat is driving us insane.
I think it is, too. The heat is slowly melting our brains.
I'm the closest to the window.
That's the worst place to be when it's hot outside.
I'm falling apart.
Okay, so we're.
I'm not gonna fault you for playing it before Witcher 3. If you play a game before you're actually like into it, then you're just not gonna enjoy it as much.
No, so. I really have to like. Oh, that's when I have time to play single player games. I have to just play like weird things that are not in the public eye. Like, because that game is not in the public eye. Like.
No,
like
I
think there's something magical about playing those games because they're so off the radar that there's not enough people that have said really negative things in a serious way because nobody wants to seriously review the game, and so I don't have any thoughts about it besides my own. Like, I'm just having my own experience.
I will say it's kind of funny that you bring up the weird. Because I kind of went through that too, where when I was like going to school and like was so busy with like school and work and stuff, I just wanted to play like the worst games for some reason. Like, I'd get like this chunk of time and like all these sweet games came out. We're talking about like 2000, you know, like what, 2010, 2011, maybe, like around that time. A lot of really good games. And I'm sitting there playing like, I can't even think of a good example. I'm playing like. Yeah, like the biggest name game that I was playing at the time was like The Darkness 2.
Oh, hey.
And they're not a bad game at all, a really good game, but I mean that's like the best quality game that I played at the time.
Oh, really?
In a time compared where to like
everything
a lot
else
of,
that was coming out.
So I played a lot of them like later on, but for some reason at that time I was just like Viva not
Pinata, Party Animals
on that same level.
Like Fusion Frenzy 2.
Yeah, things like that.
Like TMNT.
I guess this was more like 2010, 2009 probably, but around that time was
like Lego Indiana Jones 2.
Yeah.
It's not always even just
seriously
bad.
A Lego.
I'm listing all of my games that I've like gotten full gamer score on. I had a bad era in high school where I got whatever for achievements, like TMNT.
Are you kidding?
Just something about your face, Striker. Sorry. You fucker and your fucking achievements.
Viva Pinata.
I felt like you were going to go over there and just break his neck.
It's just hot. I don't know what I'm going to do next.
Fusion Frenzy 2 is the worst fucking game I've ever played. I'm just going to say that.
We all went through, if you want to, we all went through our gamer score achievement whoring. Actually, I didn't at all.
So are we moving to
Symphonia? Tales of Symphonia.
So who played Tales of Symphonia? Because I played a lot.
I saw it on a shelf when I worked at Best Buy.
Oh.
I played it for a few hours.
It looks cool.
Does that... Yeah.
That doesn't count! You guys are wrong.
I tell you, Vesperia. Vesperia is the best one. Better. It's got Yuri Lowenthal.
So
Did you play any Tales games?
No.
God damn it.
They're so good.
Can you explain... Okay. Can somebody explain to me so that I didn't realize that this was a series? How far back does this go? And it's what?
A long time.
It's like a
long
time. Fantasy. Okay, so
Dreamcast, I think. Was there a title on Dreamcast? I'm pretty sure
there was a title on.
Johnny's probably wrong.
There's SNES games.
Wow.
Yeah, Fantasia was on SNES.
I've never played.
Oh, I've heard of.
I've never played pre PS1. Like that's as back far back.
They're all Tales of World name here. So there's Tales of Vesperia, Symphonia, Fantasia.
Now that you name them, they're all sounding.
Graces. Zillia.
Graces is a more recent one.
Graces.
Is it all new worlds every story, or is there
Tales of the Abyss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for recently, they continued.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Were you asking that to be a smartass, or were you seriously wondering?
I asked a serious question. Okay.
We're both
funny.
Having a stroke.
Because you said it in a way that you were like, oh, is it? Because he had just said every game is named after a different world, and you're like, does each game take place in a different world? Like,
well, but it was like, it turned out to be a legitimate question, because there are games that actually follow into the same...
It's a fair question. I was just wondering if this was, like, Phil, like, just getting so hot that he's finally turning into a dick. I've been waiting for this moment my whole life, where Phil just starts being a dick to everyone.
It was still cold.
Yeah.
So this new game was announced, or the HD version, what was the deal? What? I don't know.
Huh? Oh, PC. It's on the PC.
Oh, it's on PC now.
Is this the HD version of just Tales of Symphonia? Because they released a secondary Symphonia title.
When did the original game come out? And on what console?
I played it on the GameCube. I don't know what it was on.
Yeah, I believe it was 2001. So it's a pretty old game, but it's been remastered a few times. It was remastered on the PS3 recently with a second chapter thing, which I think was on the Wii first. I don't know. Anyways, the game's had a long legacy, and it was the most popular one in the whole series. A very popular series. I mean, this is sort of the casual entry point for JRPGs.
It seems to be the one I've heard most about.
Yeah, and it's very casual in Japan as well. It sells hot there. They've got like huge stadium concert events every year for it and stuff, where they announce the new game. I think it's called like Tales Fest.
That's crazy.
Are they all like high quality games? Or
no.
So, okay, here's the thing. There's a weird kind of... like split on what's going on in those games, mm-hmm. where everything about the story, with a few notable exceptions, is pretty shit.
Okay.
And they generally have the worst animation in cutscenes of any game series.
Oh, really?
It's laughably bad.
Like in the overworld or just in like the set pieces where it's not in combat, it's fucking horrible.
Are they just kind of like low budget?
I think so.
But no, because they make so much money.
But maybe they're just keeping that money in the bank. I don't know. But,
maybe it goes to other...
they just give them a bag of cheeseburgers every like time they need to make
it. Maybe all that money goes to like Tekken and stuff.
Yeah.
But the combat systems for these games are consistently fantastic. Like, that's why you can just play them for so long. Because did you look at any of the more recent ones? Because it like, look up the Graces combat.
They didn't start, but they really changed the action RPG combat system for JRPGs.
Mm-hmm.
They popularized that. And so there's sort of like a fighting game sort of combo sort of thing to it. So where you can slot your own skills and attacks.
So it's kind of like a live... So it's not like turn-based.
Not at all. No, it's huh. it's what, and most JRPGs nowadays aren't. But this sort of started that, and so you know you are on sort of a 2D/3D plane, you can switch off between any other characters, and you can also plug in up to 4 controllers and have your friends control the other party members during combat sequences, which is awesome if you want to just. No life a game with your friends for that's a summer. Sweet.
It actually is fantastic. I didn't think that it would be good.
Except for the one night when we were drinking. That was fucking horrendous.
Well, that's because we just got tired. But
it's like 2 in the morning.
Johnny and I have a mutual friend, and he and I played about 30 hours. We didn't finish, but we played about 30 hours into just playing one of these games together, and it was fine. Like, we didn't get sick of it, we didn't get bored, like, we just kept going, and we had
fun.
And
it works well with, like, co-op?
Oh, it works fantastic! In fact, it makes some of the encounters easier to handle. Like,
it's not well implemented. It does look pretty cool.
It's really basic. The same.
Well, it's really basic, but it doesn't need to be
exactly
advanced.
It works perfect. Did you ever play? Did you ever play The Lord of the Rings Third Age?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of like the JRPG for the Lord of the Rings.
So they tried, EA tried making a Western JRPG for Lord of the Rings movie games with an original story, even though they could only really work with the movie license. They couldn't take any book liberties or use anything from the book. Which sounds like a recipe for disaster. Nobody played it except for me, and I only played it co-op with multiple people growing up.
So they also played it.
Well, yeah.
Wait, which game?
Lord of the Rings Third Age.
Oh, yeah, I played that, but I didn't play multiplayer.
So, I basically was the one showing it to people. It's a really silly game, and it's got turn-based combat, but no JRPGs have, for their turn-based combat, cooperative play, where you just add a second player, and they get this character and this character.
It seems like kind of a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, it's so easy to implement, and it makes it so fun. The Lord of the Rings Third Age is like one of my favorite PS2 games. I still think that game is playable because there's no turn-based RPGs like that where you get to mix turn-based strategies with each other. You have to talk, like, oh, you cast the stone wall thing on my elf so she doesn't die. Okay, and I'll support you with this move, and then you blast them and do a critical hit. You know, like, it makes the basic JRPG combat super fresh. Super fresh.
Excuse you? Sounds pretty cool. Cool. You know that.
Anyways, the game was a mess, but, like, it was super fun if you're playing it co-op. And it's got crazy good audio design. I don't know why. Something that EA Games, I guess, does well.
Interesting.
So, moving on to the new Warriors title.
Oh.
New Musou.
There's an anime/manga/book series. It all started with the book. And I believe there have been games prior for this series called Kingdom of Arslan or something like that. I haven't really followed it. It's by the guy who did Legend of the Galactic Heroes, which is a classic from the 80s. Or the book is by the same guy.
Is that a book?
Yeah.
Legend of the...
They're both books. Legend of Galactic Heroes is like a sci-fi epic, and then this is his fantasy epic.
Oh.
And they're both like deep political struggle, sort of follows... There's a lot of tacticians, and this one's like a medieval... I don't know how fantasy it is, or if it's fantasy at all. I think it's a bit fantasy, but it tries to be as medieval and Western as it can. Well, anyways, they got a new Musou, or Dynasty Warriors... game for this, so kind of like the Bladestorm thing, but it's based off of this more interesting property. I don't know if we'll ever get it because people don't really know about this series here, but it was very popular in Japan. The game, and we also have Dragon Quest Heroes coming out, which is sort of like the Legend of Zelda Hyrule Warriors type thing. Except this one, have you looked at Dragon Quest Heroes?
Yeah.
I
looked it up when
sick.
You told me about it. Yeah, it looks really cool.
Like, it looks just like... It's got a lot of charm in it. It's like they had less of a Dynasty Warriors development team working on it and more of Dragon Quest. Because it seems more Dragon Quest than Dynasty Warriors to me. You have a party, you have...
It looks like it nailed it. Like it.
Yeah, you have a skill system. Like, it looks really cool. The graphics are gorgeous.
The graphics are really good.
Comes out October 13th.
Really
here.
Sexy.
Yeah. Yeah! Sexy.
That's the word.
So October 14th or 13th, it's on the PS4 here.
Wait, just PS4?
Yeah. Oh, and
no. It's time to take the plunge, Jack. No!
The West.
I don't have money for that.
The Western title. Get fucking Bloodborne. Anyway, the Western title is The World Tree's Woe and the Blight Below.
What a quality.
This is like the horrible name cast today. So, is that it? There's one. Oh, Fire Emblem.
We got Fire Emblem news.
Yeah, so I'm good. So, were you going
to
say?
No, you go ahead.
So, it came out in Japan last week. Or was it the week before?
I think a week before.
So the week before last, it came out in Japan. They already have the sales figures for that first week, and it is by far the best-selling Fire Emblem game yet. Now, this is a popular series in Japan, and pretty popular here as well. And I freaking love it, especially the last one, and I'm super hyped for this. And I wasn't quite sure how much of an improvement the new one would be, and it seems like it's a little more... How do I say this? Pandering in some areas in like the best way possible, which bothers some people. The fact that you can marry off a character and then go into a weird mode where you can rub their face.
So so when equipping, when trying on accessories and equipment, you can strip them down to their skivvies and you can poke them and rub them in places.
Oh wow.
And if you have like an S rank relationship with them, like sometimes they'll say some things like in response to this happening, like oh my like it's suggestive.
Oh, there's like hot springs and
a certain part of the Japanese gaming community that this was targeted towards,
and it worked. Last game was the best selling. Fire Emblem was sort of dying. There was an interview recently where the creative lead of Fire Emblem basically said, because they've been doing the same thing for the last 9 games.
I'm just looking at your neck sweat, and it's I can't. It's like right here, there's just neck sweat. It's probably the same for me. You just can't see it because the sun's not shining.
Fire Emblem, and I'm just getting stuff on homophobia and a bisexual.
Phil, you, I don't know what you're doing to search, if you're searching on like Ask Jeeves or something, but.
I typed in Fire Emblem.
How do you keep finding things? Up.
Okay, well, anyway, I'm just trying to follow up on what you're talking about.
Wait, have you never played a Fire Emblem?
No, I played fucking...
Fuck you.
Fucking Final Fantasy.
I'm getting like, pissed
my extent of... My knowledge of JRPGs goes as far as... Shit, I watched my dad play on Super Nintendo as a kid. And whatever, a couple of Final Fantasy games I played like 35% through.
I don't know if I can come back. This is...
So, they released 9 Fire Emblem games. Or 8? Not 9. Maybe 10.
Wait, what?
Before Awakening, there was like 10 Fire Emblem
games? Time to fact check, Johnny.
Should be about 11. So we had... 7 was seven. We got 7 localized, mm-hmm. is my understanding. And that was what we got localized as just Fire Emblem. Mm-hmm. And then we got Sacred Stones... And then we had the GameCube title and the Wii title. And then there was the remake, if you want to count the remake of the first one. So that should put it right at about 11 or so.
So they made 11 games, and they were basically the same from the fucking Famicom era.
What was that?
All the way on.
What the fuck is even happening right now?
Are you pumping a shotgun?
We're talking about important things.
I'm really sorry.
They can't see your shotgun.
I sat through those other things.
I'm sorry.
Just a lack of respect for Japanese culture.
I'm sorry.
Please continue. Fire Emblem. So they made a bunch of games. They basically hadn't changed since the Famicom era. I mean, they're really simple games. They also have sort of the same premise as well. But they're all really good.
Wait, they've been around since the...
Dawn of Time.
Okay, they're another old...
Yeah, they're an ancient franchise, and they haven't really evolved, but they keep remaining... There's a big enough gap in between them that they're fresh when they come out. You're like, yeah, I will play Fire Emblem. Except for the remake. Then Awakening came out.
Which one was Awakening? Is that the new one?
That's the one on the 3DS that recently came out. It was the bestseller. It had 3D graphics for the first time. Well,
it was fantastic.
It was
the first 3D handheld game, like really good 3D handheld.
They added like a love blossoming on the battlefield mechanic, where basically if you have a character fighting next to another character, they'll get like a little heart, and if you keep gaining their relationship points, they'll level up in their relationship, and if they level up, it doesn't matter who they are, they develop a friendship.
It's,
or a relationship if you get to that.
Yeah, you can get bromances going, and there's cutscenes.
So the point of doing this is that once they rank up, if they're side by side, they have defensive and attack bonuses where, like, if you're about to die and the other guy's standing next to you, he'll come in front of you and block the blow. You'll tag team and they'll
get some party assists.
So you, you develop the relationships and stories of every single character, but then there's one mechanic where you get to play matchmaker. And you marry off literally every character you can. And there is some mechanic that makes it to where their children, based on who you paired up, come back as...
From the future. So you get adult versions of their future children. So you come back as party members, and you can get like a multi-generational chain thing going on.
You can marry their children's...
Interesting. I didn't realize this was a game you were talking previously... About having how it released, like one of the Fire Emblem games, how it released is like two different.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what we're concerned about. That's like the only concern.
I just connected the dots. So
yeah, these games are tactics games. They're all about warfare and fantasy warfare.
It sounds really cool.
And they all have the same kind of thing of there's one evil kingdom and one kingdom that's being. Usually the emperor.
There's some shades of gray in Awakening.
Yes. Well, there's always sort of been shades of gray because you always get like characters that aren't exactly evil on the other side.
I'm talking about like the apparent. I can't talk about this without spoilers. But if you remember the main story from Awakening, there's shades of gray with the villains.
So do these games, are they all kind of like standalone, or do they interconnect in...
They're all standalone except for the like GameCube and Wii ones, I think were sequels to each other. Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn. But this one, this one is called Fates. And it came out in Japan, it's a hot seller, and it's really successful. And I looked at like the list of characters, because they have like a roster of characters. And... they all look pretty entertaining on both sides, so it's like, and if you buy one game, you can go digitally and I think pay about $15, at least that's what they're charging in Japan, to buy the other version of the game as DLC, which is okay. At $15, to me, if I beat the game and I still want to keep playing, $15 isn't that much to ask, if that's what they're going to do.
And there's the third campaign.
And then there's a third campaign as DLC they're apparently going to release.
Hmm.
And it should be out by the time we get it. But they're fucking releasing it next year. That's so stupid. Nintendo's got, like, nothing on the horizon. And this game is out in Japan. Usually it takes, like, 3 months to localize a beefy RPG from a small team.
Do a lot of games on 3DS have DLC?
Some do. Awakening did. The last Fire Emblem had a little mission packs you could buy.
Interesting.
Yeah, they adopted that.
It's very, like, tentative. It's like Nintendo's not sure what they're doing.
And you were saying that you hope by the time it gets localized that both versions are...
Well, so they had the two versions come out at the same time, and then they are going to release this DLC campaign, and they announced for Japan that there's going to be a combined version. It's like a special edition, and you get, I think it's like 90 yen in Japan, so... I don't know what that... That's probably a little over $80 here. And it'll have all three campaigns, plus just being a collector's edition in general with physical stuff. And we're hoping that we get that here, because that would just be convenient.
That would be convenient. That sounds pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
I like... it's got some interesting character designs.
Yeah, they went... Well, they've always been sort of anime for their era, but they went all out in the anime realm for the last two. And that pisses some people off, but it don't bother me. Know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that's our news right there.
Mm-hmm.
We are all dying of heat. How long?
Nothing.
So it doesn't matter.
Hour 48.
Is there anything else that you guys had to discuss?
Let's just get right into this new Final Fantasy expansion.
Let's just have a long
3 hour another discussion.
It's good.
It's good.
They changed the voice actors. I don't know how I feel about that yet.
It's fine.
The new classes suck.
You don't like Black Knight?
Dark Knight got wrecked in the recent patch. They released a patch. So, there were some issues that were occurring with new classes. Like, they added, a new damage class, and it wasn't doing very well. So they released a patch. They're like, yeah, so we're fixing an issue with this class. And it ended up tanking the damage even more than it was already doing. And then they didn't deliberately change anything with the new Dark Knight class, but something they did ended up causing it to have six different bugs that renders it unplayable right now.
Interesting.
So, yeah,
Squeaky's... I picked that class. I was doing it.
But you're level 51 on Warrior.
I was doing it. I was gonna get up. We need to stop this before we lose our fucking minds.
We're just gonna ravenous animals and start.
We're gonna forget how to turn this off. We're gonna turn it for 5 hours.
Just be me slowly dying while I eat dinner and crying. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Thanks for downloading our podcast. Thanks for taking your awesome time to listen to us.
Jack, thanks for coming again. It's good to have you.
It's awesome.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I already mentioned how to keep up to date with what we're doing at the beginning of the show, but please do that if you can. We would like to start doing some giveaways, things like that, and just having what do we call it? Our blackout cast or something?
Get crazy drunk.
Yep.
Crunkcast.
We'd love to bring that to you. 50 likes on Facebook for a Crunkcast. That's our stretch goal.
Are we
going to
do that?
No, we don't really. We could just have a regular podcast and just drink during it more heavily. thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next week.